Welcome to Who's Your Team, the podcast where we interview famous people about their favourite football team. That's it. That is literally the podcast. I'm Jim Daly, and back for week two, it's the one and only Dave Bibby. Dave, welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I feel at any point it could just become Jim and then we move on.
I mean, I didn't want to say that you were essentially doing a sort of trial for the reserves in the first episode, but I'm delighted to say you passed. You gave us a solid 90 minutes, and you're in the first team. If you want a contract for the rest of the season, it's yours.
I'll take it. I will take it. I won't ask about money.
Good. Definitely don't.
Is it a rolling contract?
It's rolling, yeah. So you need to really keep up the performances, to be totally honest.
I'll be keeping an eye on you. It's not really my thing. I'm more of a kind of
impact
luxury player.
A luxury podcaster. Speaking of great first week performances, we have had some great feedback about the Toby Tarrant episode in week one, haven't we? I mean, what a guest he was.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. My mates WhatsApped me and said, yeah, it was decent, to be fair, which is just, you know.
That's a five-star review from them.
That's as good as it gets from the lads. But he was a great first guest because he can put up with our crap because he knows what to expect.
Absolutely right. And we're going to move on to our second guest for this week. It's a wonderful Matt Horn, actor, Spurs fan. And this is a very funny episode, isn't it?
Yeah. He's a funny guy. Very dry humour, isn't he?
Yeah. I would say, out of all the episodes we've done, this is probably sticks to the structure of the episode the least. I'd say there's the most tangents in this one. Yeah. But I'm all for it, you know, as an approach.
Yeah, we just start slagging off parts of modern football and saying some of the things that were rubbish 30 years ago, we now look at with gold-tinted glasses.
Yeah. Neville, I mean, he's a goalkeeper as well. We should say that Matt was a goalkeeper. So there's a lot of goalkeeper-related sort of anecdotes. Neville Southall does come in for a bit of sticker, so I apologise to Big Neff if he's listening.
One of the greatest goalkeepers to ever live. Gets it from both barrels.
Poor guy. But no, that's some good stuff. We should say again, with the Toby episode, this was recorded a year ago. I mean, there's literally a reference to Spurs playing in the Carabao Cup final at one point, which is happening this Sunday, and quite literally Dave doesn't have Spurs in it this year.
No, it definitely doesn't. They got close there. They got a big semi.
Hey now.
But yeah, last year's Carabao Cup final had the unbelievable graphic of comparing the two managers. Of course, the Spurs manager had only managed one game at that point. and he was playing against Pep Guardiola, who'd won Champions Leagues, La Ligas, Premier Leagues and everything else.
Came close, though. Only a 1-0 defeat. So, you know, they didn't do too badly at all.
Classic Spurs.
Now, Dave, before we go anywhere, I'm delighted to say we've got a sponsor this week.
Get it.
This is incredible work, isn't it? We're only second week in, we got a sponsor. We're delighted to be sponsored by the absolute legends at The Terrace. They are the home of kit and fan culture sports merchandising. Now, Dave, I'm sure you've seen The Terrace's stuff. They have a massive range of football club-specific products, from mugs to prints, towels, babyware, doormats, mouse mats, and everything else in between, including customised ranges. You're impressed by The Terrace's stuff, aren't you?
Very much so. I popped my club in there, and then I saw like some bibs and coasters. You know, just classic stuff that I need in a man room, really.
Absolutely. Oh, it's classic man room material. Absolutely bang on. And obviously, they cover pretty much every club, but this is a Spurs episode. So in their Spurs range, they've got 90s kit-themed mugs, doormats, and more. You know, they've got a lot. The old Hewlett-Packard sponsor crops up a lot, which is obviously a classic 90s Spurs sponsor, as well as a 1991 FA Cup final lineup print. They've got classic kit car hangers. Dave, what's happened to car hangers? Car hangers used to be a staple part of being a fan in the 90s. And I feel like The Terrace is the only place you can get one now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. They were literally everywhere. It's one of those places that you know where it'd be really good for a gift. I'll go and get my brother that for his birthday, or it's my mate's thing. Yeah. You know, he'd love that kind of stuff. And then you go on there and you buy it, and then sort of fill your basket with other stuff yourself, basically.
Exactly. And they've also got,
while I'm here,
on their Spurs range, they've got a lovely range of mugs, including Klinsmann, Hoddle and Ricky Villa, sort of artwork, which is very nice indeed. And I'm delighted to say, Dave, the Terrace are offering our listeners a generous 20% code off their entire range of their whole store. All you got to do is go to theterracestore.com and enter the code TEAM, T-E-A-M, at the checkout to get 20% off. And that runs until the end of March. Let me do a couple of extra bits. And that runs until the end of February. Dave, what a deal.
That's a cracking deal, to be fair, because it's pretty fair value, the stuff that they've got on there. Good gear. You've got to have a mug. I mean, if you're drinking out of some other mug that says, yeah, world's best dad, we know you're not. Or, you know, best grandmother, right?
Yeah.
Pack it in. Go and get your Glenn Hoddle mug off the Terrace store.
Please. I would say, if you're a football fan, maybe an older fan like us from the 90s, or a fan of any range, if you haven't got a mug of your team on it, or a kit, a car kit hanger with your team on it, I'm sorry, but you're not a football fan for me.
Who do you think you are? Get off my podcast.
Before we get onto the Matt Horn episode, I'm sure Matt has got Spurs mugs. I'm sure he's got car hangers, kit hangers as well. I was thinking during the week that I was listening to another podcast. I can't remember which one it was. I think it might have been Quickly Kevin or possibly Football Cliches. And they were talking about football nationalities of players and positions. And I suddenly thought, you could do an 11 of players with different positions. Like, so if I said to you each position on the pitch, I want you to tell me, what's the first nationality that comes to your head? Because there are certain nationalities that fit different positions on the pitch.
Yeah, definitely. And I think actually, now you say that, they'll change over the years as well. So like, if you think of like Brazilian goalkeepers right now, you've got like Alisson and Edison, and like they are top notch. They're really, really good. But for most of my life, Brazilian keepers have been rubbish. And but they just didn't get tested that much because they're sort of, the Brazilian number nine would always be, you know, your main man. It will also depend on your age, I think, what answers you would give.
Yeah, we're about to age ourselves massively here. So you're welcome to go with 90s positions, modern positions, whatever, first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
And let's build an 11 of nationalities. And then we'll put it out to our listeners as well. And they can tweet us and let us know whether their 11 was similar to yours or whether, you know, they had different ideas. At Who's Your Team Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Here we go. Goalkeeper.
Wales.
Wales. Big Wayne Hennessy fan, are we?
Because we've already mentioned Neville Southall. And I thought, right, let's get him in there.
Okay, Wales. Fine. I was going to go USA. I felt USA.
Oh,
feels...
that's much better.
Yeah,
that is much better.
This is a rogue 11. You can go USA. You can go Wales. Okay, right back. We're going to go 4-4-2. Classic, just 4-4-2. Right back.
Ireland.
Stephen Carr.
Stephen Finnan.
I like Ireland. That's good. I was going to go
there
England.
There are other Steves available.
Not if you're an international for Ireland in the 90s. Excellent. Excellent. Left back.
I've got my third. Yeah, okay. I'm going to go Brazil, which is a waste.
Well, I didn't say you couldn't have multiple positions, but I mean, you can do it. Maybe we should. Yeah, actually, do you know what? You're right. You're right, Dave. This is why you smashed your trial on the podcast. You're absolutely right. We should go with one each. So, yeah, are you going to use... I think Brazilian at left-back is a good shout, but you're going to use up your Brazilian for left-back?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, because... I think I will. I sod it.
Okay, this is going to be a very interesting team. I can't wait for your nippy Northern Irish right-winger, but we'll see what happens. Centre-backs, I feel like we might be on the same page here. Centre-backs.
I would like an Italian centre-back.
Lovely. Yeah.
And I might take a Dutchman at the back.
I was going to go Scandinavian. Somewhere
that's not a country, though.
No. You're right. You're absolutely right. This is why I failed by GCSE geography. I think you could have a big Danish centre-back, maybe, or a Swedish centre-back. There's been so many Swedish centre-backs throughout the years. Swede.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Lovely big Swede. Lovely big Scandinavian. Don't care which one, just sort of Scandi.
Italian's a great shout, though. I mean, 100% you need an Italian. Just sweeping up at the back and just ticking things over.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, should we go centre-mid, then? Two centre-mids.
Yeah, okay, give it to me.
Who are you going to go for?
I like a German in the middle of the park.
Lovely, yeah.
You know, just a boss tings, really. And I want to save those guys maybe for up top. So let's go Portugal.
Oh, sort of Figo? Figo,
yeah,
there,
yeah. Or? I'm thinking basically a German's going to be very kind of consistent and just play simple five-yard passes, never lose the ball. A Portuguese geezer's going to come in there and do give me something a little extra.
Yeah,
I should have gone Spain. I should have gone Spain.
You should have gone. You should have gone Spain. Yeah.
Can I take it back?
Yeah, you can if you want. Yeah, I mean
Spain and Germany, please, Jim.
You need an Iniesta or a Xavi in there, don't you? Really?
Exactly.
Only being the best team in the world for the last 20 years. So left mid. What are we going to
go? Portugal, please.
Lovely stuff. He's just working one step ahead. This is why he's so good on the pitch. Just lovely stuff. Portuguese left winger. That's great. Have we done right winger yet? No, I don't think we have we?
No. I'll have England in there then.
It's a Bex, isn't it? It's just got to be a Bex. Yeah.
Bit of whip in there. You know what I mean?
This is a love. I'm getting sort of Pepsi mid-2000s vibes, advert vibes for this team. You got your Beckham, you got your Xavi, you've probably got your Figo, you've got a German in there, your Ballack, maybe. This is strong Pepsi
Should have
vibes.
Had Oliver Kahn.
Should have had Oliver Kahn. I mean, yeah, you went rogue with the first one. So what have we got left up top then? What are you going?
Argentina.
Lovely. I mean, this has gone better than I thought it would. That's absolutely lovely. Your batty goal, someone like that.
This is classic podcasting. You're going, this has gone better than I thought it would. Everyone listening at the time is going, this guy, has he even watched a football match? What is he talking about? Guy's an idiot.
They're like, where is Matt Horn? Seriously, can they just get to Matt Horn? I didn't listen for these guys. I think Argentina's great. You've got your Crespos, your Batistutas, your Messis. And then who are you pairing him with?
I might go Uruguay.
An all South American lineup.
Yeah. And again, I spunked Brazil on left back. And now there's the obvious hole up top. I should have had a number 9 from Brazil and a number 10 from Argentina. But I am who I am.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'll put a Uruguayan in there because they've had some lovely strikers.
They have. And don't ever apologise for that.
I would have liked to have got an African team in there and an Asian team. But I guess in my lifetime, the big names have come from South America, Germany, Spain. They've won the big cups.
I do feel like you have overlooked one country that's done okay in the 90s, 2000s and now. And that is current reigning World Cup champions, France.
Never really heard of them.
No, okay, fine. Ned. I must have made all that up. I must have just dreamt Zinedine Zidane at one point, which was a beautiful, beautiful dream.
Zinedine, you can't just make up names, Jim.
If you're going to make
you'll
up
get
a name,
found out.
Make it more believable. Thierry Henry, now that's a believable French name. Zinedine, no one's called Zinedine, come on.
No Frenchman in there, I put Ireland in there out of respect.
Absolutely, top man. Shall we crack on with them? I mean, listen, that's your nationality 11. If our listeners are listening and you disagree with any of that, which I'm sure you probably do, get in contact at Who's Your Team Pod on Twitter and Instagram or whosyourteampod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your nationality 11s and your working out as well. Yeah, give us your workings out as well. And
You can definitely improve on what I've just done. So absolutely.
You could literally put in the current reigning world champions, I think, for a start and maybe take out a Welsh goalkeeper. But you do you,
as
Dave.
Soon as you said USA, I think, yeah. They've literally just a load of goalkeepers, as far as I can tell.
Exactly. Right, okay. I think we should crack on with Matt Horn, big Spurs fan. Dave, do you want to do the honours?
Yes, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, Matt Horn. Today we are joined by an actor, comedian and goalkeeper. He's won BAFTAs, presented the Brits and killed more lesbian vampires than you've had hot dinners. He is to Stacey what Jim is to me. Please welcome Matthew Horn.
Well, good morning. What an incredible introduction. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. And tell us, Matt, who's your team?
It's the only team in North London, Tottenham Hotspur.
getting shots and in our, early doors.
And our Arsenal fans switch off. Nah.
Sorry. Who?
So the thing is, I can't believe that's come in so early. I always think like that's always been a big, like the North London derby's always been a big rivalry. But is that one that's been like stoked even more by the social media age? It feels like it's even more fierce now. Or am I just imagining? Am I seeing more of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it inevitably is because people who wouldn't normally connect, I suppose, be it confrontational or otherwise, are now able to. So I suppose rivalry is exacerbated by social media. Yeah. If we're going to get straight into the TED talk. Yeah, I mean, certainly from my perspective, I tend not to tweet about football. It's a subject to avoid if you're not a massive fan of death threats. And so there was a period when I did tweet about football, and of course it is well known that I'm a Tottenham fan in real life, this is a subject that's come up, obviously, of course, because in Gavin and Stacey, Gavin is a Tottenham fan as well. So I mean, I've been on Twitter 13 years now, and for a good few years, I used to idly and casually tweet about football until a quite innocuous joke I posted that I heard about Newcastle United. I mean, actually, the joke format was interchangeable according to which team you wanted to defame. But I chose Newcastle United because for many years they were quite a bogey team for Tottenham. You know, they were a bit of... that we always seemed to draw or lose. And you know, there was that went on for quite a few seasons. So I posted this... what I thought was quite a tame joke, but the response was quite vitriolic, and I made a point. And that was shortly after my sort of fifth or sixth appearance on Soccer AM, and I sort of decided then to just not do any sort of PR regarding football. However, my experience doing Jim's other podcast meant that I'm a bit more amenable now, tougher skinned to the response, I suppose.
Can you remember what the joke was?
Yeah, it was. I was walking down the road the other day, and I saw a Newcastle United season ticket nailed to a tree, and I thought, oh, I'm having that, because you can never have too many nails, can you?
Yeah, that's a good joke, and it is a solid Twitter joke.
It's fairly innocuous, but I mean, I seriously, death threats.
Yeah,
know.
No point getting involved in the David Ginola derby. Don't get in.
But to counteract it, you know, despite me not tweeting about football anymore, but for that reason, if I do ever encounter a Newcastle United fan, I always really gleefully ask them what the atmosphere really is. You know, there's such a legendary atmosphere at the Sports Direct Arena. And I always enjoy the reaction to that. Cue podcast death threats.
Here we go. So that's Arsenal fans, Newcastle fans.
They're
who
gone.
Else can we,
our list, can our we get are rid a of? Lovely bunch. They're mellow.
No, you see, I am. You see, I don't subscribe to the rivalry particularly. It's not really... My relationship with football is very much a relaxing experience, which I know is the complete opposite to a lot of fans, you know. For a lot of fans, it's their raison d'etre, and that's absolutely fine. That's their choice. But for the sake of my health, I choose to view it as... I mean, so, for example, I would watch every Spurs game and watch Match of the Day, but I would fast forward through the punditry of Match of the Day, and I would I would watch the game from the whistle, pause and fast forward through half time, and then as soon as the final whistle goes, switch it off. And that's Because I think all the stuff around it can raise one's blood pressure and make one more misanthropic than is necessary. So the rivalry thing, I've never really subscribed to, but of course with Arsenal and Tottenham, it's inherent. You know, it's inherent. And I know earlier in the season they were in a, you know, and I do sympathise with the relegation battle that they were in a couple of months ago. And obviously, you know, they've been through a tough time with, you know, questioning the manager. And, you know, I've got to say, I do take a very unbiased view of it. I think Arteta is in the top 20 assistant managers in the Premier League.
he really is.
So I don't really subscribe to that kind of confrontational banter, if you like.
We're going to need to get an Arsenal fan on next week to balance this up, we I think, are. Aren't we?
And then get them both on at the same time.
I know what it'll be. Tin pot club, small club, no trophies, blah, blah, blah.
So that. You've been Spurs have been better than Arsenal for the last 4 or 5 years now. Like that's been a more of a consistent thing, isn't it? Arsenal have been terrible.
They've not been particularly exciting to watch, but they have won trophies. I mean, you know, they have won the FA Cup a few times.
Well, trust me, as a Crystal Palace fan, trophies are not everything.
Kicking off, like going back to the start of your sort of chilled way of watching football and not bothering with punditry, you're a top. How did that happen? Why Spurs? What led you to be? This is my team.
Unfortunately, it was purely sartorial. When I was 7 years old, my father asked me if I wanted a football kit for Christmas. But at that point, although I was very into football, I didn't have a team. My dad's a lifelong Notts County fan. I'm from Nottingham. I was born and raised in Nottingham and went to school with mainly Forest fans, which was tricky, but we'll come on to that later. But I didn't have a team, and to his credit, my dad never forced Notts County onto me, you know. He just said, you know, I know you're really into football, and do you want a football kit for Christmas? And so I said, well, yeah, of course, I'd love one. And so I went through my 1986 Panini sticker album, and I chose the Spurs kit.
You fancied a Holston pills or something?
It was the Holston. No, my alcoholism didn't start that early. It was the Scandinavian design because it was a Hummel kit, which I believe are a Danish brand. So yeah. It was just it was a very classic shirt, and aesthetically speaking, I think I'm quite into monochrome things, so that suited me.
So there couldn't have been that.
Although that said, you know, Notts County were playing black and white. As the Newcastle, but the Sports Direct Arena is quite a long way away from Nottingham. And I did end up playing for the Notts County youth team a bit later on in my life. So,
and you were a keeper.
I was a keeper, yeah. And playing for. Being at the School of Excellence there and playing for Notts really sort of made up for residual guilt, I suppose, for not following my father. I still class Notts County as my second team, and have done sort of various things for them, pitch side and what have you. I follow them. But Spurs from age 7, because of that football kit and my father's, real generosity, bought me the bought me the kit. And once you're in, you're in. Mm. You know,
this is the thing.
I don't know anybody. I can't think of anybody. Oh, actually, no, I do know somebody who grew up supporting Aston Villa and then suddenly aged 31 or 32 became an Arsenal fan. Which, I mean, that's, I mean, it's just baffling. I mean, that's jail time.
That's unacceptable. Yeah. Is this around the time they were doing with Villa
or Arsenal, just the fact that you would switch teams so passionately. There's jail time.
Well, it's funny you mentioned, maybe it's an Arsenal thing, because I have a friend that I went to school with, and I won't name him, but if he's listening, he knows who he is, who was an Arsenal fan, but sort of was a bit sort of like, flippy-floppy Arsenal fan. I was a diehard Palace fan, and we became best mates, so he became a Palace fan through me, came to Selhurst, came to watch us in 99 during one of our toughest times, really got involved in Palace. And then we sort of, you know, you lose contact as you get older, but still in contact now and then. I saw him a few years ago, and he's gone back to Arsenal.
He's gone back again?
He's gone back. And this is when they were shit. So I just...
I don't think you can call yourself a true football fan if you change your team. I just don't...
Sorry, Mike.
You said you weren't going to mention his name.
I realise that you wanted to.
As much as I realise that you just want to talk about Crystal Palace. But I'm afraid to inform you that in terms of people who want to talk about Crystal Palace, you're very much in a minority.
I'm well aware of
that.
I say that with
absolute love and care and sympathy, really. Not pity, sympathy.
I'll take it.
Yeah, so although I have to say, I'm going to contradict myself here. I think if, for example, you know, disregarding the last Spurs game, if going on the previous six or seven or eight Spurs games, I decided I've had enough of watching this. I've had enough of putting myself through this. This is not enjoyable anymore. This is not relaxing. I'm not enjoying this. I can understand people abandoning their team for a team that is perhaps much, much lower down. So, you know, I could see myself, for example, ditching Tottenham and just focusing on Notts County. And I think that would be an honourable thing to do. Or, you know, ditching Tottenham and following Crystal Palace. You know, it's a similar sort of thing.
It's like when George Best left Man United, so he just signed for Dunstable or someone like that, didn't he? Because he didn't want to go down. So you've gone all the way down the levels to Notts County.
You see, that kind of thing is really, you know, you can't. I think that's a virtuous thing to do.
Support, you know, patronising,
but.
No, you know, I think in comedy they say punch up, in football support down. I think that's a fair way of looking at it.
It's a really very good mantra to have.
Can I just say, though, while we're on the... I mean, maybe we should move on to sort of first kits, but this is why teams need to have excellent kits, because you could pick up way more fans than you realise. Mm. I think one of the reasons Crystal Palace do have quite a lot of... not that many fans, but have more fans than people think, is because they've got a really cool kit. So in theory, I think if you are a team that has a sexy kit, I think there's it's like a marketing ploy. I think there's a chance to pick up more fans, certainly when they're younger.
That's an incredibly subjective opinion.
Crystal Palace, and this is why I don't work in marketing.
Crystal Palace have a really cool kit.
I remember your kit collection.
I'm not a fan of red. So,
yeah, that's a fair point.
I like the idea, if you just go, I like
that kit, like you've gone for your Panini album, like, that means that there's probably a load of kids now cutting about, like just massive Nigeria fans after the World Cup years ago. That is a nice kit. And then suddenly, 20 years from now, just love Nigeria.
The latest England kit is fantastic, though. Don't you? It's got that Italian 90 vibe to it, and I really like that kit.
Yeah. And the training gear is quite nice as well.
Yeah. But yes, I think you're right. I mean, it's not something I considered, actually, that the aesthetics of a kit might garner more fans. But yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they need to get top fashion designers. Because the one thing, if there's anything to be said about football kits, is that they should really be more expensive.
They should be, yeah, they should. Yeah. You know.
And they should have different versions.
The quality of the garment, you know, exactly. They really should be, you should really be paying more for what you get.
Yeah, I want to pay more money for something that I sweat in 3 seconds after putting it on. That unbreathable material is really...
And becomes obsolete after 9 months. Yeah.
Although somehow then gets cool again 10 years later. So there's a long game when it comes,
yeah,
when it comes to kits.
Yeah, I guess there are.
Hey everyone, hope you're enjoying the podcast. If you're a fan of live comedy, Dave and I are both doing solo shows at the Leicester Comedy Festival on Saturday, February the 19th, which is just around the corner. Both shows at the LCB Depot Courtyard Room. My show is up first at 4:15 p.m. It's called Jim Daly, Football and Fatherhood. It's a show about my love of football and how it's helped me become a new dad. It literally does what it says on the tin. It's a sweet, funny show, and I'd love you to be there if you live in Leicester or any of the cities or towns around and are free on Saturday, February the 19th at 4:15 p.m. Please do come along. The show is free/pay what you want.
And straight after Jim's show at Leicester Comedy Festival is my brand new show, Dave Bibby Remakes Jurassic Park While Trying to Bring Up a Baby. It's a remake of the classic film, but where we make things just a little bit scarier or updated for the modern world. For example, the T-Rex now has the personality of Priti Patel, and the Triceratops poo is made exclusively out of all of Laura Koonsberg's tweets. So check that out at Leicester Comedy Festival, or if you're based in London in the South East, it will be at the Museum of Comedy in March. Hope to see you there.
We now normally go on to first kits. You've already told us as part of your origin story about this first top kit.
Yeah, but I can tell you a bit more about it. Because
please do. I'm looking at it now. It is. I mean, it is a gorgeous kit.
Unbeknownst to me, my dad, he bought me the full kit. And I remember the box. He put it in a little box and wrapped it in tissue. Oh, it's just wonderful. I can remember it vividly, despite having a really bad memory of my childhood, although I do only remember playing football and everything to do with football from my childhood. And he'd got the alternative shorts. They were navy shorts, but I think maybe the away kit had white shorts. So I had the white shorts with the white top and the white socks. So... It was just that extra bit special. It wasn't quite the when the long sleeves came out and everybody wanted the long sleeves. It wasn't quite that.
Game changer.
But, that was a game changer, wasn't it? It's like, not only am I going to spend £40 on this 10 pence piece of nylon, I'm prepared to pay 60 just to have it long sleeved.
Can't be wearing a long sleeve top underneath. No.
But you see, when I was younger, I was a goalkeeper, so I used to buy goalie kit. Sorry, I just think goalie is such a funny word. I just think commentators should definitely use it all the time. Should never refer to him as the goalkeeper or the keeper. I should always refer to the goalkeeper as the goalie.
Well, do you know what my favourite goalkeeper-related word is, and they never use it anymore? Custodian.
Oh, the custodian,
You never hear that anymore.
Custodian.
That's sort of the polar opposite to goalie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the formal. If you meet a goalkeeper, it's the formal way of introducing yourself.
But commentators have to be incredibly imaginative with their vernacular and vocabulary, because you know, there's a lot of time to fill. Yeah. And there's a lot of inane chat. The stats have got out of hand, haven't they?
Yeah, oh, good.
I mean, that's gone way out of hand. Way out of hand.
It's gone from being, here's an interesting stat, this guy last scored a goal like this in this game, or however many consecutive games, to just like the first 10 minutes of a match being like, well, the last time this was a one or draw was in 1936 when top of the charts was so-and-so. And the last time there were this many throw-ins in a game, who gives a shit? Just tell me what's happening.
Yeah. Now, and this player used his leg 36% times. That's 36% more times than he did in the last game. it's insanity.
Just say goalie and you get us on board, and then you've got
just
rush
say goalie and I'm in. refer to them as goalies and I'm in.
I always went like goalkeeper kits as well back in those days. There were some absolute crackers as well. Some absolute beauties.
Yeah, there were. I mean, I was fully not formally sponsored, but in terms of my optics, I was sponsored by Sondico.
Nice.
I still got my first Sondico keeper shirt.
Wow.
And the gloves. Obviously, like the advancement in glove technology during the 80s was huge. So, you know, you've got your Sondicos, which are matching your top, which is fantastic. And then Yule Sport comes out and you're like, oh, man, I need them. And you notice, though, the technology has advanced so much that goalkeepers no longer need to dob into their gloves, yes. And rub it so that the ball sticks.
They're the stats that we want to hear. How many goalkeepers are gobbing into their gloves these days compared to 20 years ago?
You don't see it. You don't see them do it because they don't need to. Because whatever the material is on the palms of the goalie gloves, they have saliva-like properties, I'd imagine. So,
had there been a pandemic in the 80s with goalies
just
spitting on their gloves and throwing the ball out?
I'm actually getting quite nostalgic, actually, just thinking about Dave Besson going like this into his gloves.
What a sight, walking up to take a penalty against a guy like that and hocking up a beauty.
hocking up some phlegm and flobbing it into his palms.
More innocent times.
I had goalkeeper kits for several years alongside my sort of outfield player.
And so
kits. And then when I reached 14, I was still playing for under 14s at Notts County. It became clear I wasn't going to be tall enough to be a goalkeeper, because I'm 5'7" now. And I was mid puberty, which is something I didn't really expect to say on this podcast. And it became clear that I wasn't going to be tall enough. And so I had to abandon that position and moniker of goalie. I then started playing outfield.
Ask who Monica was. Sorry, yeah, that makes more sense.
Lovely stuff. And but then I started playing outfield, but not for Notts or anything, just for school and my local team, county level, what have you, yeah.
So, growing up a goalkeeper, your first favourite player must have been a goalkeeper then.
Yeah, well, the 80s were the time for the personality goalkeeper, wasn't it? You know, and I suppose it was a toss-up between Peter Shilton and Grobbelaar. I think Grobbelaar really. And then that kind of went my love for goalies. I'm just going to keep using it. I'm hoping it will start something. It'll become a trope. You know, that extended into the 90s with Schmeichel and Eric Tortsvet, and I don't think now. And what was that? Was he a Colombian? I can't remember that World Cup where he did that clearance.
Higuita, Rene Higuita.
Yeah,
the Scorpion. Yeah,
I miss those goalkeepers. Those sort of celebrity keepers, celebrity goalies. Yeah. I miss them.
Or was it Campo used to make his own kits? Was it Campo?
Yeah,
he used to design his own kits, and it was always like, yeah, crazy kits, and he'd come out of goal and do all sorts of mad stuff. And the pass back rule would have still been in play then. So goalkeepers back then were just big lads who used to spit on their gloves and you could pass it back to them and they'd boot it out. These days they're more footballers. But to think that these sort of mad lads were sort of cutting about in those days, they were even more extreme for coming out and doing.
Yeah, and I think I think Grobbelaar's autobiography was something about, you know, it was about being the kind of the outsider in the team in a way. Mm. You know, there's just a very unique position. And I think during the 80s, that was really embraced in the personalities that you saw. You know, even with Neville Southall, it's just like, it's a fat guy with a moustache, you know. And more suited to playing darts. Dave Besant's hair, you know. Yes, just all things like that. You just don't see it now. And what really, really gets me about modern-day goalies is the short sleeves. Come on.
I was going to ask you about that, yeah.
Come on.
You're from the elbow pads days of goalkeeping, right? Yeah, you had big thick shoulders.
My son
and
Nico's
elbows
had sewn-in quilting. So Jacquard stitched quilting into the elbow pads. But even disregarding that, you're going to hurt your elbows. I mean, yeah. I know pitches have improved. I know turf has improved and groundsmen have improved. I think short sleeves on a goalie is unacceptable.
So goalies, in a way, have become harder. They've become harder, but less interesting, less personality.
Well, they've become more like the rest of the team, which are supreme athletes, but there's less personality. I mean, Petr Cech is a good example of someone who had a personality, but only because he was wearing that mask for years.
the last keeper I can think of that had a personality was, funnily enough, someone played for Crystal Palace. I will crowbar them in, however possible. Called Gabor Kiraj, who was a Hungarian goalkeeper. But his personality was literally just wearing jogging bottoms. Does that count as a personality? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I love that stuff. What was that keeper that Tottenham had for a bit? Gomez.
Yes.
Is it Gomez? And he went to Watford.
Yeah.
Right. Big unit.
But he was a funny one because there was a game when you can watch as many replays as you'd like and you could not work out why, but he just burst into tears. Which is obviously something. He was obviously triggered by something. But he just started crying. Note it down and see if you can find it. If you put into YouTube...
I haven't got a notepad.
If you put Gomez crying into YouTube, it's completely impossible to work out why, but he just starts crying.
So he starts crying. You're like, now this is what I want from a goalie. Finally, someone to get on board. Yeah.
Yeah, just someone who isn't a psychopath. I mean, what kind of goalkeeper wears short sleeves?
It's not
acceptable. I can take the entire pink outfits down to the boots and the gloves. I can take that.
The spitless gloves.
But what I cannot get on board with is the short sleeves. And also what I want more of, and this needs to happen, is the, before they take a goal kick, the bashing of the studs.
Yes, against
the stanchion. Yeah. The studs against the stanchion to relieve the studs, the sole of the pink boots of mud.
Yeah,
maybe what I want to see more of.
Tap the crossbar a bit. Tap the crossbar. Maybe hang off the crossbar for a bit.
Here's another thing. I think it was when Tottenham were playing Marine in It was either Tottenham playing Marine or it was another Premier League side who were playing a much lower league side in the FA Cup. And this may have been, I think this was this year, but I happened to catch it. And for the first time in, I think, probably 20 years, because of the lower league fans, when the goalkeeper was, I did promise I'd use it. When the goalie was about to take a kick, they did the classic, bullshit! I thought, you just don't hear that in the Premier League.
And, no.
And not only do you not hear that in anymore, you've got to see the goalies in short sleeves.
If anything, they should be getting it even more for wearing short sleeves.
Yeah, it should be short sleeves.
I've got the Gomez crying video up now. I've put it
Can
in the chat.
Can you work out why he's crying? Guys.
No, it just sort of, the clip starts with him crying, so I don't know what's triggered it. He looks a little bit like he's possibly, could be laughing. Like, you can't quite work out if he's laughing or crying. But then the ref comes over, and clearly the refs haven't been trained in how to deal with it. No, they haven't been trained to deal with how to deal with, like, crying men, because he just looks at Gomez and then thinks, I'll just get the physio one.
Oh, well, he probably went over and said, are you all right? And he said, yeah, I was just thinking about my mum. And he's like, well, I can't deal with this.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get the physio.
Exactly, get the physio. And
for some reason, big Johnny Woodgate's come over. I just watched this clip and it just, what can we do? He's crying. He can't settle. Get Jonathan Woodgate. Come on. Wow. He'll know
get
what
Woodgate
to do.
Get Woodgate in. Get Woodgate in.
He'll know what to do.
He's the man. He's the man with the most empathy.
That's why we're paying the big bucks for moments like this. Yeah, a character goalie. That's a good clip.
Character goalie. Yeah, I miss character goalies. And I'm not saying that I was one, but it's funny how I've sort of ended up largely working in comedy. Because, you know, some of these keepers were quite funny. Grobbelaar was funny, you know. And also wonderful and very noble at Hillsborough. I mean, he was the first person to spot what was going on, and, you know. And so he was a very important part of that terrible event. But he was also a real personality. And I think that's what probably attracted me to that position, really.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily like I was forced in goal because I was, you know, not very popular. I think I just sort of liked these personalities. And I remember there was a 86 World Cup VHS. And there was a whole section. It was a free VHS sponsored by Smith's Crisps. Some of your listeners will know this VHS.
Incredible.
And if I'd have thought about it, I have got it here somewhere. Although I don't have a player, VHS player. But I think there was a whole sequence about greatest saves of all time. And then, of course, that Gordon Banks save, where that impossible Gordon Banks save against Brazil. It was things like that that really inspired me and made me want to be a keeper, I think. But I suppose going back to your original question, which is probably now 45 minutes ago, Peter Shilton, really, just because, you know, he was England's number one and a very good goalie.
Yeah. You can't have been surrounded by too many other Tottenham fans. It sounds like you were playing a lot more football than you were watching. When was the first time you actually got to get either down to White Hart Lane or when they were a bit closer to home to you?
Well, I did take my dad took me to White Hart Lane. I was probably around 9 or 10, but I don't remember much of it. I don't remember who we were playing. All I remember was walking out, just before kickoff and hearing the noise. I don't know how he'd managed to get tickets in the away end, I think. I don't really remember, actually. But but there was a very memorable time when Tottenham played Notts County in the FA Cup. And I think I was 15. And I took my girlfriend at the time with my dad, because I thought, well, we're obviously going to absolutely batter Notts. And we lost. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, we lost.
Does that mix emotions for you?
I mean, you know, going back to what we were saying at the start, I don't get overly worked up about it. I just kind of move on once the results happened. Because one thing I have noted about football and the history of football is there's been loads of games.
There has been a lot, actually.
And there's probably going to be loads more.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a stat. Loads of games.
Very good. That's the kind of stats we want. Really vague, obvious stats. But look, stats that people haven't really thought about.
No,
can't there argue that.
There are going to be a lot more football games than there have been football games.
Hopefully.
We hope so.
Well, how about... Now then, Shreves, listen to that kind of stat.
There's going to be more goals, more passes, more crosses. There's going to be more kickoffs.
Than there has been.
Yeah. Yeah, can't argue with that.
In football, there are going to be more football kits than there have been football kits. And this will be long after we're dead. This is the kind of commentary I want. This is basically my showcase for BT Sport or Sky Sports. This is what they want. This is what they need me.
We need more introspective co-commentators.
They're absolutely more philosophical. Yeah, more philosophical commentators. We don't want data.
No.
We want ideas.
I think we need to get in touch.
We want long sleeves back on the goalies.
I think there should be a red button option where they can get you, and then you can tell them all the stats you want. And then after about 35 minutes, you'll be like, oh, by the way, it's 1-0 or something like that.
Exactly.
Because people complain about commentators. Hit the red button. They've got you telling them, you know, some more classic stats like that.
Now, I feel like you've stolen my idea here, because I actually mentioned this in Jim's other podcast. Is that, or no, I didn't. Did I? That I think there should be an alternative. You know, on the BT Sport app, you can look at it from different angles. You can have replays. You can have a camera up Aguero's bumhole. You can have whatever you want. But you can't have an alternative commentary.
Yeah.
And there should be an alternative commentary. There was a tweet thread many years ago where Matt Lucas commentated in written form on Twitter, commentated an Arsenal game, and it was hysterical.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's that classic Alan Partridge commentary from the day-to-day.
Yeah.
And quite why, you know, Coogan's not been hired to do, like, a World Cup alternative commentary. Just pay him millions of pounds, because I guarantee more people will listen to that. Complaining about commentators is well trodden ground, so I don't think we should go into it. But I can think of one that I vaguely like listening to, and another one who surprisingly has just started commentating and is really quite good. But red button alternative commentary. I'm not saying it should be me. It should be somebody even funnier. And actually, I say even funnier. It should be somebody funnier. And it should be probably somebody who knows nothing about football.
Yeah. Well, they had on Soccer Saturday a few months ago, Tom Allen was one of the
yes
did commentary or co-commentary with the commentator on Soccer Saturday, and it was fantastic. It was so good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think that is that's a really great idea.
You could do a live version, like in the Euros. You go to a pub, you have the big screens, everyone can watch the game, but they just turn the sound off and then give you and whoever you want your co-commentator to be a couple of microphones, and they can still see the, you know, and you can just do it live there.
Sorry, what is that on your lap?
This is my cat, Snoop Cat.
Gosh, because it looked like you just had
you got the tail.
Like a very, very hairy penis that had decided to come into shot above Pop Shield. Look at it. A very errant, hairy...
Yeah, talking about goalie short sleeves really gets Dave going.
Yeah, she'll keep coming in and out.
I mean, it was erect, but it was very wobbly and malleable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing it live in a pub, no. I
Not
think
for
I'd
you.
Rather sit there. No. I think I'll sit in a studio and do it.
Was it Fan Zone they used to have on Sky Sports? You know, that was something. So maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but you was that Lucas. Not people just raging?
Yeah.
Was that not people just raging about stuff?
I think that's probably why they stopped it.
I can't listen to that. I can't listen to people getting angry about football. I just can't.
You wouldn't get on with Roy Keane.
The thing about football, and having done a drama degree, we were taught, this is the most pretentious thing, but I remember it so well. They were taught that football is the greatest theatre that there's ever been in history, right? Football is pure theatre. And the reasoning was, really, that it's full of drama, but nobody knows what's going to happen. So, you know, when you're watching a film, somebody knows what's going to happen because they've written it and shot it and edited it. And once you've watched it, you know what's happened. But with football, you don't know what's going to happen. It's inherently chaotic and it's chaos. And I think people enjoy that, but I think the chaos of it brings out some pretty negative vibes.
Yeah. You
know? And I don't, and because it's chaos, you can't control it. And there is absolutely no point in getting angry or upset about things you cannot control. And that's as deep as I'm going to get.
No, I completely agree. And obviously that is very much Twitter at the moment as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is not just about football. I'm just thinking just generally. If you can't control something, you know.
I agree. This is why this podcast works so well. You know, come for the stories about goalies wearing short sleeves, leave with advice about managing your mental health and just life
managing
in general.
Managing mental health. I mean, let's be honest, it's modern day philosophy.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is. As a, well, I guess a neutral, not, you know, not an Arsenal fan, like not a rival and not a Spurs fan, I think the Spurs have been an entertaining team, a team that a neutral would like to watch, and have had some cracking players, you know, down the years. Who have been your favourite Tottenham players?
My favourite Tottenham player was Clive Allen. It's sort of the era when just become a Tottenham fan, and he scored a record amount of goals. And Clive Allen was my favourite player, but also, you know, Gazza obviously, and Lineker, and you know, the quirkier players like Gary Mabbutt.
Gary Mabbutt.
I actually met Gary Mabbutt recently, which is really, really wonderful because, you know, he lifted the FA Cup in 1991 when we beat Forest, which was a big turning point for me in my social life, shall we say, at school, surrounded by Forest fans. But, you know, I just, talking about people, players having personalities, Mabbutt had that personality Yes, it may be just the fact that everyone knew he got diabetes, but at least it was a personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, what a great player. Yeah. He must have been at Spurs for a long time as well, right?
He was at Spurs for a long time. And he was a very, very good player and a very, very good captain. And he scored some really good own goals as well.
What you want, really, isn't good. It?
For variety. But none as good as Des Walker's own goal, which won us the FA Cup. Des Walker's diving header into his own net. Incredible.
Oh. So you've got a load of favourite Spurs players, but also Walker, because, you know, he did you a favour for Forest when you were living up around that neck of the woods.
Well, I suppose, yeah, Des Walker, yeah, and Stuart Pearce as well.
Yeah.
He was a favourite, but just... well, you know, because he played for Forest, and that was my sort of era growing up, and he was very much a personality, as you know.
Definitely.
for being a thug.
But Clive Allen as well. Like, I like that you've chosen Clive Allen, because we interviewed him a couple of years ago, didn't we? And he was just the most loveliest man. But he was like, yeah, so my brother was a footballer and my dad was a footballer, my uncle was a footballer. It's like there's about 10 of them from his family that are all professional footballers.
Well, his brother played, but Paul Allen played at right back when he was at Tottenham.
Right.
Which I believe was his brother, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just amazing.
I liked Paul Allen by proxy as well. But yeah, I mean, we've had some really amazing players, but I suppose, yeah, Clive Allen for me, just because he really solidified my support of Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
But Gazza was peak Gazza when he was at Tottenham.
He really could do anything in a game. Like, he could win the game or he could do something absolutely batshit crazy.
Yeah, just incredible, incredible player, incredible personality. And when he was at Tottenham, I think that was peak Gazza, yeah.
So you got to meet Gary Mabbutt, who by all accounts, I'm told, is one of the nicest footballers ever.
Yeah, he's an absolute gentleman, had no idea who I was. Not that I think I'm anybody compared to Gary Mabbutt, but he didn't know me, but he was very happy to have a selfie with me. And he'd got pre-printed postcards of him lifting the FA Cup. Of course, I said to him, I had to come and say hello to you because, you know, when you lifted the FA Cup against Forest, being from Nottingham and surrounded by Forest fans as a young boy and effectively being bullied for being a Tottenham fan, you lifting that cup was a major turning point in my life. And he sort of very humbly and casually reached into the inside pocket of his suit and pulled out what must have been, I don't know, must have had 4 or 5 in there, just in case, of these postcards, and signed it to me and then did a selfie. I mean, absolute gent, And he gave me his email address and said, you know, if you ever want tickets and things like that, which is really nice.
That's lovely. Have you met any other Spurs players from that kind of your era?
Well, I met Clive Allen. I did something for Sky Sports one day when we were playing Arsenal, and I went down. Was it Sky Sports or Soccer? No, it was Soccer AM. I did an outside broadcast link up from White Hart Lane with Soccer AM. I can't remember what year it was. Anyway, it was when Clive Allen was part of the training coaching team.
Yeah.
Coaching team, which I don't know whether he still is, actually. And me and the producers were walking down the tunnel onto the pitch side to do this outside broadcast, and the players came out to start their very preliminary warm-up. And it's when Berbatov was playing for us, and I was a big, big Berbatov fan. I mean, he was pretty inconsistent, but he had a real he was a really unique player. Mm. And you know, I don't get to meet footballers. I get to meet lots of actors and stuff like that, but I don't get to meet footballers. I mean, nobody gets to meet footballers because they just play football and then go back and play FIFA in their mansions, you know, because they can't do anything else. You know, they're not allowed to do anything else until they retire. So, you know, meeting footballers is a rarity. You know, it's just a bit like, oh, wow, God, Dimitar Berbatov, wow. You know, I don't know, there must have been some reaction. And Clive Allen just turned to me and went, he is a human being, you know.
And I was like, cheers, Clive.
Oh, my God. If only you knew. It wasn't enough for me to hate him now, but it sticks in the memory.
And there's people taking like sneaky selfies of you, and you want to say, "Look over there, look."
Well, yeah, I know.
What's it like? What's it like being in the public eye and going to a football match?
I don't do it anymore. It got. At White Hart Lane, it got increasingly. Gavin and Stacey was sort of at its height 10 years ago, and I've had a season ticket at Tottenham since I was 25, I think. But then, when you know Gavin and Stacey was really at its peak 10 years ago, it just got a bit much. Because I was in the North Stand and I was also on my own. I used to use football as my one time to be alone. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my alone. So I didn't know anybody around me. I just travelled to the game and watched the game and travelled back alone. That was my like alone time, my therapeutic alone time.
Yeah.
Which I know for most people is like it's the opposite type of time when you all go out and get angry and drunk. You know? I used to sit there with a sparkling water and with my hood up and just watch the game, and that was my therapy. But then, as soon as sort of it got, you know, word got around that I was there, it just got a bit intense. Even though two rows behind me was Amy Winehouse's dad, I still got the attention, and other famous Spurs fans like Paul Whitehouse and Steve Mangan and Jude Law and that lot obviously were more important, and the Spurs PR team gave them free tickets for the VIP area. But I was continuing to take my hundreds of pounds a year to sit there. So, I stopped going. And
now you've got your red button commentary instead. So that's good.
I have Gary Mabbutt, so I can go. I can go to games. And I will start going again, because obviously the profile of the show has waned over the years and all that kind of stuff, and I'm recognised less, and that's a good thing. So I will, you know.
So if you start going to games more, you'd rather be back in, you know. In with the fans or in the VIP, if you had to choose.
I would. Yeah, I mean the VIP experience at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is obscene.
I bet it's I bet
it's obscene.
Yeah.
I'm very, very, very nice to do once. You know, and it's really lovely. And I have done it once, and it was because I did the voiceover for the audio guide for the stadium tour.
Really?
Amazing.
Which was really nice. And I was really, it was quite sweet. That was a nice little job to do.
So you are the voice of the new stadium?
Yes. And it was about 2 weeks before the Amazon documentary voiced by Tom Hardy came out. So I was very, very quickly brought back down to earth. But for those 2 weeks, it was a nice little treat. And I did get to go and have the full VIP experience in a 1-0 loss to Chelsea. When I do go back, I would like to be back in the stadium, really. Yeah.
And if there's a cup final coming up, is it League Cup final?
There's the League Cup final.
Could potentially be fans in for that one at Wembley.
Yes, there could potentially be fans in for that one, and I'm already working on that. another reason, actually, for it wasn't purely. The attention I was getting when going to the games. You know, you've got to bear in mind that, you know, I'll reiterate, it was really a time for me to be alone, which I know is an absurd place to be alone in a 40,000-seat stadium, but it was my alone brain time, and then that suddenly became invaded, and so it stopped being pleasurable. I also started at that period doing a lot of theatre, and of course you have Saturday matinees, and Wednesday night performances. So I couldn't go anyway. So I have retained my ticket, and I know I'm not allowed to say this, but somebody else takes it. So I still do have a seat, but it may be time to go back. At some point, when everybody's allowed back, but I suppose, the most important thing was a nice telly and the inordinately expensive subscriptions to watch football. I do miss though is 3D football. Wow, that was brilliant.
I've never seen that.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
I don't think I've seen it either.
It was absolutely brilliant, and I don't know why they didn't keep it. It was brilliant for football, but it was even better for rugby and darts.
Because it's like darts.
It's not like it's coming at you.
The camera was in the bullseye, so the darts would come at you. It was brilliant. 3D sport was brilliant. And
you're like, I just like to watch sport and switch off. You know when the darts are coming at your face? Just relax, you know?
When you're being attacked by people who look like Neville Southall in the 80s. Yeah.
And so you've had all these, you know, these great players, like you say, some real characters in there. How about managers? Is there any managers that you're like, yeah, he's my personal favourite? Or
I mean, I know it's very recent, but I adored Pochettino. Mm-hmm. I just thought he was a wonderful manager, and I didn't like it when Martin Jol was sacked, but when Poch was sacked, there was a genuine feeling of loss.
Yeah, yeah.
Not grief. I mean, that's too dramatic. But it was like, okay, this is not a good decision, and this is not cool. I mean, bizarrely, when we hired Harry Redknapp, I was particularly excited. But he was doing so well at Portsmouth that I think that was just a real... I don't know whether that was off the back of Ramos, but anyway. I'm gonna say Pochettino just because he really... You could see the... Not only the... tactical football management, but the man management in him was, you know, I don't think Son, for example, would be the player that he is without Pochettino, without having worked with Pochettino.
Yeah.
I don't think Dele Alli would be the same player if he hadn't worked with Pochettino. I really don't. Mm. I think he has the ability with certain players, and obviously it's, you know, it's idiosyncratic, but with certain players, allow them to reach their full potential, if not more. I genuinely believe that Son wouldn't be the player today that he is without Pochettino. So I'd have to go with him.
There aren't that many managers who've done like two stints at a football club. You get the feeling that if like Poch ever came back to Tottenham, it wouldn't be. You know, sometimes you go, oh, I don't know about going back there. Like there, as a Liverpool fan, there was a time when Rafa was sort of going to come back, and it was like,
yeah,
he is good. But I feel like that could definitely happen. You know, sometime in the next 10 years, that Poch could end up returning to Tottenham.
I don't know about that. I mean, I can't imagine. There just seemed to be no reason to get rid of him. Now, there just seemed to be no rhyme or reason why he was let go, and I wouldn't come back.
Yeah, okay. So it'd need to be different people doing the hiring. He probably still loves the club, but maybe not the people who let him go.
Daniel Levy's chairmanship, I think, is probably an entirely different podcast.
Different episode.
Yeah.
Favourite ever kit? What would be yours?
I'd have to say the first one that I got, the 1986 one. But there was, I think, when we lost to Coventry, was that 1989 in the FA Cup? We had a sky blue third kit.
Oh.
And it was lovely.
I wonder how much that is on eBay.
Oh, I don't know. Have a look. I'm going to look for it myself.
I'm looking now. Yeah.
It would have been circa 89.
Yes, it's nice.
Was it the third kit?
Spurs have got quite a few. They've got quite a few dark blue away third kits, light blue away kits.
There's an 86 retro away, which has got like blue sort of diagonal stripes. Yeah. That's a thing of beauty.
Hang on. I think that's the one. Spurs kit, sky blue, 80s. Let me have a look.
And the current away kit's trying to take a bit of that as well. So taking inspiration from those days by the look of things.
Yeah, let me screen share. Oh, no, you can't do that.
Oh, I can.
It's that one with the diagonals and the Holston.
Very
the
nice.
The diagonals, and yeah.
And then on the cuff of the sock are the two Hummel chevrons.
Oh, yeah. Yes, please. Lovely. The Hummel chevrons. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, please.
Our final favourite category, Dave, is game.
Yeah.
So, Matt, what would your favourite ever Spurs game? I know it's a tough question.
It's the when we beat Forest in the cup in the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
Hands down. That's my favourite ever game.
You're able to go into school the next day, head held high.
Oh. It was bliss. It was bliss. It silenced the haters.
I was wondering if you would get to go with the modern equivalent, which would have been that Ajax Champions League semi.
Yes.
Just dramatic.
That was as wonderful, but in a different way, because I was an adult when that happened, and I was in a pub, and I was filming in Bath. I was filming in the Cotswolds and staying in Bath. And one of my actor colleagues, a dear friend of mine, Jamie, is also a Tottenham fan. And we went to a pub that showed the football in Bath. And my partner at the time was there with me. She's not a huge football fan. Her brother is a big Liverpool fan, as are the rest of her family. But she's not a huge football fan. She was sat in the pub with us watching that game. And yeah, when Moura scored, the chaos. Me and Jamie, this actor friend, we were literally on our knees in the floor of the pub, you know. And there were lots of neutrals there, obviously, because it was the Southwest, you know. There weren't any Tottenham fans around, really. But Oh, wow, yeah, that was...
You just needed to be going to school the next day with a load of Ajax fans, and then it would have been...
Yeah. it was just, like, unbelievable. It goes back to that thing about you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was an extraordinary game. We then obviously went on to the final, and it was... Liverpool won, obviously, which is was not great for Tottenham, but it was a fairly drab game anyway.
Yeah, it was killed early goal. Those are the two best semi-finals for years, and you're thinking, wow, these two teams, we came back against Barcelona, they've beat Ajax in the last few minutes. This is going to be a classic. Early goal, dead game, absolutely boring.
It was really, really quite dull, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. But we had the highs in the semi-final.
So I guess the Forest Spurs Cup final edges it for that reason.
Yeah.
It's because the end result was that we lifted the cup and my life was changed. The Champions League semi against Ajax was a momentary embarrassment and a very undignified celebration on my knees in a pub in Bath.
Well, good job it wasn't chalked off of VAR then.
That
would have been much fun. Right then, well, I think we've pretty much covered everything, which moves us on to our final... Unless, Jim, is that
no,
right?
No, I think this has been a fantastic delve into the memories. Yeah. So thank you, Matthew. Good. But we are now ready for... Well, we are. Are you ready for your mastermind round?
Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
So...
Can I caveat this by saying that I'm not going to be very good at this?
Well, can we caveat that by saying it doesn't matter?
Yeah.
there's nothing riding on it whatsoever.
Let's go for it.
You're competing with the people listening, right? They're going to chalk up how it is. What we would caveat as well is we said, wouldn't it be fun to do like that kind of mastermind thing? Every time we've done it, we've changed the format slightly. Like, I'm looking at these questions.
I remember speaking to Jim and he said that it has to be about your team, but I just came up with this because anyway, let's do it. It's only because me and my writing partner have been he's a Rangers fan whose nickname are the Teddy Bears.
Oh, 1 point.
I can't think of a more inappropriate nickname for a football team, considering the latent sectarianism. But that's how we converse. And we're also big fans of, US soccer guy on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, we love him. We think he's so funny, particularly the people who think he's real. Obviously Twitter is a swamp of idiots, but when we converse about football, we generally refer to teams either by their nicknames or by made up nicknames and using US soccer guys' vernacular. So Tottenham are actually called the Soccer Chickens. But we've stuck with the Teddy Bears for Rangers because it's completely absurd. Anyway.
Teddy Bears versus the Soccer Chickens.
You might have to revise the quiz, Dave, because I feel like the answers are going to be probably better than the ones you've got.
I'm not an expert. It's certainly not a mastermind thing, but I think that wrong answers could potentially be funny anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
It doesn't really matter. I'm not here to try and show off about my football knowledge at all. Although I do have a pen and paper ready just in case.
Yeah, get it.
Excellent.
I like it. I mean, some of these questions have got two answers, so that is not how Mastermind works. But there you go. Maybe you get 2 points for it if you can get them. Okay, so your chosen Mastermind topic is club nicknames.
Yeah.
Okay. We've mentioned a couple of clubs so far already. So if I'll read the questions.
Yes, but if they were in the questions, then do ask them because I do know the answers. And I am going to need points.
I realise that I should have done one where the answer was Spurs. Just to be like, come on, let's just get us off the mark with just a 5-yard pass.
The Lily Whites.
There you go. Ding. That's
now,
one.
I'm always just going to see that lily white kit.
However, in my world, they're the soccer chickens.
Up the soccer chickens. Right, okay. So, Jim, you'll be okay. on scoring and time. You've got 90 seconds, okay?
Oh, my okay. God.
You're ready?
Yep.
All right, so you give us a countdown, Jim.
Okay, so timer starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
If the Black Cats are playing the Tigers, who is playing whom?
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't realise it was going to be like this.
The Black Cats versus the Tigers.
I mean, I actually have got the Black Cats. Well, you see... Oh, these are lower league clubs, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, actually, yeah.
In a way, okay, yeah. They had a documentary.
Okay. The Black Cats versus the Tigers.
Yeah.
That's going to be... Okay. That's Blackburn versus who are Tiger?
Okay,
like?
Don't alarm you, but you are 40 seconds in.
Pause. I've started till I finish.
Preston North End.
It was Sunderland versus Hull. Okay.
This, of course, it's Hull.
This one's slightly themed to you. Well, in a way, which club nickname is shared with the lead characters in a John Sullivan sitcom?
Which club? The Dell Boys. What,
yeah. It's a surname.
Is that what you mean?
It's a surname.
That's a better nickname.
The,
that
the
is a
Trotters.
Better nickname.
The Trotters. Yeah. Do you know what club that is?
Is it Plymouth?
Bolton, but point for the Trotters.
Point for the Dell Boys.
Philadelphia's NFL side share a nickname with which Premiership club? Philadelphia. What?
The cream cheeses.
Philadelphia cream cheeses.
That's a much better nickname.
Yeah, it works for me. It's Jim's club. It's Jim's club.
Oh, sorry, we're out of time. We're at 1:45. Sorry, I wasn't the
yeah, but, come on, I mean,
but let's just keep
cut
going.
It down.
Yeah, let's just keep
cut
going. We'll cut out my
I'll
ums.
Make it in the edit.
Can I just say though, I did specifically say to you, Jim, make this easy so I don't look stupid.
There's more.
You're actually, right. You're right. You did. You
it
did.
Is a. It is a pretty mental. Anyway, let's do
right,
a couple
well,
more.
Let's do a couple more.
Right. See if you can name the odd one out from English football: the Hornets, the Wasps, or the Bees.
The Bees.
Why would that be?
Because that's the nickname of a rugby team.
Oh, you've hit the post. Yeah, the Wasps are a nickname of the rugby team. The Hornets are what?
Well, I know that, but I thought you were doing a sort of bluff. Oh.
Well, the Hornets, Wasps, and Bees would be Watford, Rugby, and Brentford.
We need more bluffs. We need more bluffs in these rounds. I think.
I did the celebrity chase. And I told them to give me easy questions. And they gave me a question when one of the options was Tottenham, and they knew I was a Tottenham fan. So the answer was obviously Tottenham. But I thought, oh, they've bluffed me here. So I said Chelsea. And I was out. I was back in the green room after 5 minutes. And the producer was like, you told us you're a Tottenham fan and to make the questions easy so you didn't look stupid on telly.
It's a charity that suffers. That is quite Tottenham.
That's what I said to him. I said, I'm only doing this for my chosen charity. This is all your fault.
Okay, I'll give you one or two more. Let's just see.
Go on.
Which one should I go with? Let's go with this one. Which club shares its nickname with a Spice Girl? I realise as well, when reading back through these, none of them are like quick fire. Like, what? Yeah, like, what was the nickname? What's Brentford's nickname? The Bees. You have to think of a sitcom and then the character and then you have then to get the
nickname. One of the questions is about rugby, you know, enough football.
Yeah, I know, but let's be honest, it's a pretty famous sitcom and I ought to know.
So Dell Boys, which is a great nickname.
Yeah, start with the Spice Girls.
Well, the Posh?
Posh yeah. is correct. Yeah, Posh yeah. of Peterborough.
Peterborough, that's right, yeah.
See if you can name...
I've got one right!
Get up there.
This well, is I think the Del Boys is right. Technically, I think the Del Boys is a point as well.
Yeah, yeah, because you've got Trotters. Can you name three clubs, a point for each, that have birds as their nickname?
Yep.
Yes, I can. Mind your own business.
I can. Notts County, Newcastle United, and Tottenham Hotspur. The Magpies, the Magpies, and the Soccer Chickens.
Double Magpies, double Magpies. Newcastle and Notts County.
And the Soccer Chickens, yeah.
So with Magpies, it's one for sorrow, two for joy, and I think that's a good point to end.
Well, we'll total up that score and put you on our leaderboard. To be honest, you've done better than the chase, and that's the main thing.
Do you know who else has done better? Everyone.
That's the bravest mastermind topic that anyone has chosen so far. Because most people will just be like, I'm going to just choose this one game and then that. But you've gone all in. You've gone, I support Tottenham. Ask me questions about literally any club. And I respect
yes,
that.
Yes, but you see, I've been asked to do a celebrity mastermind and nothing springs to mind, and I think you have to either be inherently really knowledgeable about one very specific thing, obviously, that's obviously one way to approach it, or choose something and do loads of research. And for a podcast like this, where you're not paying me, I wasn't prepared to do either.
That's absolutely fair. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Okay. Yeah. That's where I'm coming from. Like,
haven't your agent's calling you? You haven't done that self-tape for that huge HBO series? Yeah, I'm researching for the Mastermind quiz with Jim and Dave. Give me a break.
I've spoken to you more times in the last hour than I've spoken to my agent in the last year.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah. So thanks for the compliment. But,
Well, Matthew, thank you for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting Spurs and your memories with you. It's been wonderful.
Cheers.
And I think we can all agree that from now on, Spurs should be called the Soccer Chickens.
Yeah, the Soccer Chickens, goalies... no more short sleeves, and you know, up the Palace. I've been to Selhurst Park. I can't see me returning anytime soon, having experienced the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium VIP special. And huge fan of Liverpool, and I'm absolutely gutted that you're not going to win the league this year when it matters.
The big one that everyone wanted to win.
Last year, I mean, you know, there was a pandemic.
No one cares.
But this year, when people care, you're not going to win it. So
it's a shame.
It's a shame.
It's a real shame.
Maybe next year. Probably not.
Matthew, thanks so much.
No worries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. Matthew Horn on Who's Your Team? Big Spurs fan, Dave. Big lover of the word goalie. Big hater of modern goalkeepers, let's be honest.
He's a classic football fan. When he has opinions, he follows them through. He absolutely loves one thing. And then the next thing to come up, you know what? Stick them up your arse. But he sounds like he's had some cracking memories of supporting Spurs and generally going out there to games and you know, getting that match atmosphere despite his position in the public eye, which is always an interesting thing, I think, because football fans just, I don't know, we're not the nicest bunch sometimes. It sounds like he's been well looked after down at Spurs. So.
Yeah, and I feel, because this was recorded a year ago when Spurs weren't going through their best time, but they had a cup final coming up. I wonder what he'd be like now. I think most Spurs fans are probably questioning their entire existence at the moment.
Well, we like this. I think that this is a sort of a timeless podcast, don't we? You can pick it up anytime and have a listen. But I do think
the Spurs episode, you really can pick up any time. If it was 10 years ago, like, yeah, we're doing well, we're not quite there. And if it's 2 years ago, yeah, we're just not quite at that level. It's in another 3 or 4 signings.
One of the 3 or 4 managers.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, at this particular time, they've finally got a top level manager and have forgot to get the players to go with him.
They'll get there one day.
Yeah, they held
well,
on
thank
to Harry.
You. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Matthew, for joining us on the podcast. And we should say to any of our listeners, please do subscribe. If you're new or you listened last week and you haven't hit the subscribe button, subscribe, rate us, all that jazz, because it does help us get seen in the charts, Dave, and get seen by more people.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could do that for us while we're trying to build this podcast, that'd be amazing. And also remember, check out the Terrace store as well. Some cracking merch on there.
Indeed, go to theterracestore.com and enter the code TEAM for 20% off. And that basically just leads me to say, join us next week for another celebrity talking about their favourite football team on Who's Your Team, hosted by Audio Boom, and our theme music is done by the one and only Oz Brinkhurst. But until then, Dave.
It's goodbye from me.
We cannot do that. We have to be original.
I've suddenly become that sort of poor man's Klopp that they've got down at Southampton. And it's like, look, Liverpool already got Klopp. And like, what else is there? Well, this guy is almost the same.
Your poor man's 2 Ronnies. Well, I'll tee you up again. You're not on trial still, but I'll tee you up again and we'll see if you can pop it into the back of the net. So thanks for listening. He's missing that. He was great last week. The fans were like, he was quite solid this week. What's he doing?
Luxury player.
Thank you to Matt Horn. Thank you to our listeners. And Dave, until next week.
I love you.